we pray and we wait for the answer. And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not now. But God always answers prayer. Always answers prayer. Now, when you pray about it and say, Lord, should we do this? And God lays it on your heart to do that. Guess who's responsible for the results? God is. God is.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Always pray about your plans. When you pray about something and God leads you to do something, it will be blessed. Pastor David discusses this and more today as he continues his study in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. But first, have you ever experienced a time when you felt spiritually drained? Well, the Bible holds the cure that will bring joy and vitality back into your life. That's why we want to send you a copy of Pastor David McGee's video message, A Checkup from the Neck Up. In this inspiring teaching, you'll find biblical truths that can restore your spiritual health. A Checkup from the Neck Up is our way to thank you for your gift this month to help more people on this station and beyond cross the bridge from death to life. So please visit crossthebridge.com to get your copy of A Checkup from the Neck Up. Now here's David McGee with his teaching, Avoiding the Losses.
Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. We saw in Joshua 6 the way that it's supposed to go, the way that a battle is really supposed to be prayed over, laid out, and followed through with. You know, God gives the direction to the leader who is seeking the Lord. The Lord communicates to the people and to leadership, and then the battle plan is enacted. Then the battle goes well. Well, this week we kind of have a study in how not to have a battle, and so we're going to get in here and dig out several truths in here. So Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. See, and it starts out with kind of a, you know, an ominous-looking word, on a but. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Boy, it's already kind of foreboding, isn't it? Because you see several things that they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. And again, it really helps to compare this chapter with the last chapter. Now, the last chapter, if you remember, even going back two chapters ago, Joshua lifted up his eyes and the captain of the host appeared to him. Now, we talked about the fact that that was what's called a Christophany, or an appearance of Jesus. And it happened when Joshua was lifting up his eyes, probably during a time of prayer. Well, already we see something that's missing from this, don't we? Had they prayed about their battle plan? No. They just already just kind of crafted it. And not only that, but Joshua didn't come up with it. The people came to Joshua and said, Joshua, this is what we ought to do. Well, again, it's kind of ominous that they're not praying. And they're laying these plans, but they're not praying about their plans. John Steinbeck wrote a book about the depression of mice and men. And in it, he quotes Robert Burns, and he says, the plans of mice and men go awry. He said a little bit different in Scottish. But what he means is that sometimes we can plan stuff and it doesn't go well. But let me add something. We plan stuff, it doesn't go well when we don't pray about what we're planning. See, as believers, we have access to God. We have a connection with God. We can pray to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this situation? What do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do about that? But how often do we just plunge forward without ever praying? And then what happens? We get in a world of hurt and we want somebody to come rescue us. It's a lot easier if we pray before we make plans. That's the first life lesson here. Always pray about your plans. Always pray about your plans. You know, I often have somebody come in and go, hey, you know, can we do this? And can we do that? And certainly at this point in the ministry, there's a lot that we could be doing. But I usually answer with, I don't know, let me pray about it. Now, that's not just a brush off. I want to seek the Lord and see if the Lord wants us to do this or that or the other. And that's an important thing. Because see, if you pray about it and God leads you to do something, it will go well. It'll be blessed. Now, when it doesn't go well, something went wrong. Because see, here's the thing. When you pray, wait for the answer. You realize sometimes we pray and we go, okay, I prayed about it. And God's like, well, I didn't answer yet. And then it doesn't go well. We go, well, God, what are you doing? I thought you were blessing us. Well, you didn't wait. I was going to tell you not to do that, but you were off and running. So we pray and we wait for the answer. And sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not now. But God always answers prayer. Always answers prayer. Now, when you pray about it and say, Lord, should we do this? And God lays it on your heart to do that. Guess who's responsible for the results? God is. God is. You see, if we engage in something as a church and we move forward with it and it doesn't go well, then maybe we missed God. Or maybe I'm just needing to learn more obedience or humility or whatever. But there's always something that can come good out of it. Well, they didn't pray. They definitely didn't wait. Understand, I think we have here in chapter 7, we can call this the permissive will of God. I don't know if you're familiar with these terms. There's the perfect will of God and there's the permissive will of God. I believe the perfect will of God for the children of Israel in the promised land was victory every time they fought. That was the perfect will of God. What happens here is they mess up, as we'll see. And so they enter into the permissive will of God. Now, you know what's incredible? And this boggles the mind to consider. Do you know the perfect will of God is that you would go from victory to victory to victory to victory to victory to victory to victory? No failures? That's the perfect will of God. Now, in case you're sitting there going, that's never happened in my life. Well, be encouraged. It's never happened in mine. I mean, I've got a string of victories occasionally and then boom, crash and burn. Why? Because I'm human. Human nature is we forget. You know what these guys had already forgotten? They forgot who won the Battle of Jericho. They thought they won the Battle of Jericho. They forgot God is the one that won the Battle of Jericho. And so they started measuring the enemy by God's strength? No, by their strength. Oh, guys, they're headed for trouble already. Why? Because if you look at the strength of the enemy and kind of gauge that, then you've got your eyes on the wrong place. Our eyes are supposed to be on the Lord. And the moment we get our eyes off the Lord, guess what? We become perfect targets for the enemy. They started trusting in their own strength, in their flesh, if you will. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Now, this verse is actually at odds with some of the teaching that you may find in churches and Christianity today. Here, Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, you know what? Don't put any confidence in your flesh. Why? Because when you do, you've got a painful lesson coming. Just ask Peter. Peter had a lot of confidence in the flesh. You can see it in his answers to Jesus. When Jesus would say, you know, hey, are you guys going to leave me? And Peter would always, Peter just wasn't a yes or no guy. You ever notice that about Peter? Peter would be like, you know what, Jesus, these other guys will probably leave you. I'm not sure why you picked them to begin with, but me, Lord, I'm with you. And you hear how that it just exudes, it just is way too much self-confidence. Peter was headed towards a fall. Why? Because Peter, oh, this is so important, guys. Peter had a lot of faith in Peter. He had yet to have a lot of faith in God. Oh, this is mission critical as believers. We have to have a lot of faith in God and not a lot of faith in ourselves. Because when you have a lot of faith in your ability to follow God, you're going to have a Christian life that's filled with bitterness and disappointment and disillusionment. And you're going to go, wow, why don't I ever have victory? Because you're putting confidence in a place it shouldn't be in. Putting your trust in your ability to follow God. Never put your trust in your ability to follow God. Put your trust in God's ability to lead you And you'll never be disillusioned. You'll never be let down. Occasionally you may stray, you may lose your way, but God will never fail to lead you. So Peter had a fall. Why? So he could learn to put his trust in the Lord. That phrase, no confidence in the flesh. Do you understand that no confidence, that is a term that is used in boardrooms, and it's a legal term, if you will, when people sit in the boardroom, and whether it's a CEO or chairman of the board or whatever, they can take a vote of no confidence. Now, what that means, for I don't want to get into all the details, but for all intents and purposes, that means that that leader is no longer the leader. Well, that's a beautiful picture. Have no confidence in your flesh. Vote no confidence for your flesh. And don't let your flesh be your leader anymore. Because when you let your flesh lead you, you wind up in trouble. That's not just you. That's all of us. If we allow our flesh to lead us instead of the Lord, you're headed towards trouble. That's why Paul says no confidence in the flesh. He makes an even stronger statement in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Wow. That is a strong verse, isn't it? I find nothing good in myself. Now, Paul, what he's explaining is that the only good in him is the Lord. So how does this tie in with being self-confident? It doesn't. Don't be confident in yourself or in your flesh. Be confident in the Lord. And again, you'll never be disillusioned. You'll never be let down. But when you put confidence in a weak thing, it's only a matter of time before it fails. Verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. So they all went up the hill, and then the guys of Ai chased them back down the hill. And they probably felt fairly silly. Oh, we got it. You guys wait here. This is nothing. We'll be back in 10 minutes. Well, they were back in 5, but they were running from the enemy. Again, no prayer, confidence in the flesh. These are all things that have very practical applications in our lives. And remember that we're told that all these things were given for our edification, for our learning. Up to this point, Joshua has not prayed. I think if Joshua had prayed, God would say, you know what, Joshua, you got a problem. There's a problem in the camp, and you need to deal with it, or you're going to lose this battle. But there wasn't prayer.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more powerful insight from God's Word in just a moment. But first, your enemy, the devil, doesn't want you to experience the life-giving truths of God's Word. He wants to rob you of the full life God wants for you. But you can overcome his attacks because there is supernatural power in the Word of God. That's why we want to send you Pastor David McGee's video message called A Checkup from the Neck Up. This powerful resource will show you how to revitalize your spiritual health and grow in your faith daily by meditating on God's powerful Word. A Checkup from the Neck Up is our way to thank you for your gift this month to help more people on this station and beyond cross the bridge from death to life. So please visit crossthebridge.com now to get your copy of A Checkup from the Neck Up. Now, back to today's message.
Verse 5, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shibarim and struck them down on the descent. And therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. See, they had forgotten. They thought they were invincible. Verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us, all that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. So there's a little bit of residual stuff from the wandering in the desert. Doesn't that kind of sound like, hey, why didn't we just keep us in Egypt? Why did you bring us out in the desert to kill us? If you remember the people of Israel, they were a lot of time wanting to go back to Egypt. Well, that's really convicting, so let's move along quickly. No. See, we have that same thing in us, don't we? There's part of us that thinks Egypt was a good place. There's part of us that thinks back and thinks, oh, those were the good old days. And occasionally you see an old friend that maybe used to hang out with and do things that were not so edifying unto the Lord. And you know, and you sit around, what do? You remember the good times. And that's an interesting thing about the human memory. We tend to forget some of the bad stuff and remember the good stuff. And you know, and the reality is sin is pleasurable for a season. The Word of God tells us that. And we begin to think that maybe we should go back to Egypt. And here they're going, well, you know, why didn't we just stay on the other side of the Jordan? Verse 8, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? I think Joshua is legitimately concerned about the glory of the Lord here. He's going, Lord, you know, this is not glorifying your name because we lost. So what happens? What's going to happen now? And again, they had forgotten their dependence on the Lord here. And that is a lesson for us all, because you understand, we quickly forget our dependence on the Lord. I know I do. I mean, it often kind of goes like this. You know, you get saved and you go, oh, Lord, thank you for the grace that you've given me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. I can take it from here. And the Lord's like, oh, no. I mean, you know, there you were doing well. You had a fighting chance, and now you want to run your life again. And boy, that just won't work. See, and that's where we get into problems. Jude has an interesting verse. It tells us that the Lord is able to keep us from falling. Isn't that an amazing thing? You ever stop to consider that? The Lord is able to keep you from falling. So why do we fall? Well, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Imagine, if you will, you're riding down the road. And when we make the Lord our Savior, we should also make Him our Lord, meaning we look to Him to direct our lives. So we make Him the Lord. We say, okay, Lord, you drive, I'm riding, and He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from the pitfalls and the ditches. But you know what happens? We go down the road of life and we're thinking, okay, this exit is coming up. Here it is, getting close. God, do you see this exit? Here it is, it's coming. You're going to miss it. And we grab the steering wheel. What happens? We go off in the ditch. And then what do? We look at God and go, God, what are you doing? I thought you were in control. Why are we in the ditch? Amen or oh me? I got a few honest people in the house tonight. Praise God. That's what happens. When we remember our dependence on the Lord and the grace that we were so desperate for the day we got saved, we understand that we are desperate for that grace every single day of our lives, and we're dependent upon the Lord, you'll live a life of victory. I promise you. We're told that God's mercies are new every morning. And you know why that is? Because you used yesterday's up, man. I mean, you've depleted all of them. And God's like, oh my goodness, He spent them all in one place. I got to give them some more here. Praise God, they're new every morning. And it keeps us dependent. It keeps us going back to the Lord for the Lord to deliver us once again. Verse 10. So the Lord said, I love this verse. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? You got to love this. I mean, here's Joshua. And now he's willing to pray. And don't miss this, guys. Do you understand what's going on? God's going, get up. Get off your face. What's Joshua doing? Joshua's on his face praying. And you know what God is in essence saying? Get up. You got to do something. Now see, this is interesting to me. You know why? Because Joshua didn't pray before. He went and did something. And now when Joshua should be doing something, what does he do? He's praying. And God's going, you know what? You got to find the balance here, Joshua. See, oftentimes, and here's the next life lesson. Often we pray when we should be doing something, and we do something when we should be praying. Often we pray when we should be doing something, and we do something when we should be praying. I never forget, early on in ministry, I was kind of under a pastor who had been in the ministry 26 years. And I learned a whole lot from the man. And he was confronting a difficult situation. And he brought the gentleman in to confront him on some behaviors and said, you know, and he asked him a question. He asked him a very direct question. And I'll never forget, the guy looked at him and said, and it sounded really good, sounded really spiritual. He said, before we start, Pastor, can we just pray? And I'll never forget, the pastor looked at him and said, you know what? I've already prayed about this. Answer the question. Now, I was still young in the Lord. I was like,
you should pray all the time. You should, you know.
It was a good lesson for me as a believer, because it was time to discuss the issue. And really, you know what the guy was doing? He was trying to build in some time where he could think of some evasive answers. That's what he was doing. And yet, in his flesh, what was he wanting to do? He was saying, oh, let's pray. What sounds really spiritual? Except he was avoiding the question. Now, I know to some of you, you're going, oh, my goodness, are you saying that there's times when we shouldn't pray? Well, evidently, because God's the one that told Joshua to get up. It wasn't anybody else. God said, Joshua, get up. Get off your face. We got to talk. There's a time for that. Understand that. There is a time to pray, and there's a time to do something, and often we get the two confused. When God is going, you know what, you really need to pray before you do this. And then after we've prayed and God goes, go do it, you know, then we're like, well, I'm seeking the Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord. I've been waiting on the Lord 12 years about this one issue. Then you're probably not waiting on the Lord. The Lord's probably waiting on you at this point. It's like that prayer, you know, pray that the Lord would send workers of the harvest. Everybody in here should pray that, by the way. But let me warn you, that's kind of a trap. It's a good trap. It's a good trap. In the sense that when you begin to pray for workers in the harvest, you know what begins to occur to you? God starts to speak to you. Oh, yeah, yeah, pray for workers in the harvest. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, look, you're a worker in the harvest. And you go, oh, I've been praying that I would do something. Okay, all right. Help me go do something, Lord. And you know what happens a lot of times? You understand? This is balance. This is balance. Don't run off and say, well, you know, Pastor last night, he told us not to pray. I never heard a pastor say not to pray, but he said it last night. We've got it on tape, CD, and on the internet. You want to hear it? There's a time to pray and a time to do something. See, you know what happens? Oftentimes, we're praying for the lost when you know what Jesus is telling us? Go tell them. Go tell them. We're praying for people in the hospital when we should go share the love of the Lord with them. And go tell them. Go tell them. So verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Now, this is interesting. It says Israel has sinned. Now, there was one guy at the crosshairs of this, if you will, that we'll find out in a minute. But guess who's catching the blame? The whole nation, Israel. There was a reason the battle was lost. Do you understand that there's a reason when you lose battles? And let's be honest, it's safe to say everybody in here has lost battles. There's a reason we lose them. And there's a balance here again of looking back and trying to understand why we lost the battle. And we don't become preoccupied with that. We don't focus on why we lost the battle. But there's good questions asked. You know, Lord, why did I lose this battle? And there's a few questions when I lose a battle that I go into kind of analyzing mode. Not again, I'm not losing my focus on the Lord. But ask yourself a few questions. The questions are, if you're taking notes, you may want to jot these down. Number one, how did this happen to me? How did I lose this battle? And that's a good question to ask. Second question, what could I have done to prevent this from happening to me? What could I have done to prevent this from happening to me? What are some sure steps I can take to make sure I don't lose this battle again? What are some sure steps I can take to make sure I don't lose this battle again? And then asking the Lord, Lord, teach me. Teach me what went wrong. See, I talked about having no confidence in the flesh. Understand something. If you place yourself in a position where you can stumble, then you're halfway to defeat. What I try to do as a believer, and I've been a believer a lot of years, and I feel like I have a strong faith, but there's certain situations I will not put myself into. Why? Because there is the possibility, however remote, of me stumbling. So there's certain things that I avoid simply so I won't stumble. Because if I don't go there, I won't stumble.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now.
I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 877-458-5508 to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Modern life just keeps getting busier and busier by the day. As a result, a lot of Christians are missing out on the life-giving nourishment of daily time in God's Word. That's why Pastor David McGee wants to help revitalize your spiritual health by sending you his video message titled, A Checkup from the Neck Up. This resource shows you how to meditate daily on God's Word so that His truth can transform your life. A Checkup from the Neck Up is our way to thank you for your gift this month to help more people on this station and beyond cross the bridge from death to life. So please visit crossthebridge.com now to get your copy of A Checkup from the Neck Up. You know, each day comes with its share of stresses. So what better way to wake up than with an encouraging word from the Lord? Visit crossthebridge.com and sign up now for David McGee's email devotionals. Each devotion includes scripture and a message from the heart of David McGee. It's easy and it's free. Sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And be sure to join us next time on Cross the Bridge as we continue in the book of Joshua. We'll see you then.